Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by Promescent. You know, here at Gas Digital, we're always trying to help people be better in bed, which is why I want to tell you about our partnership with Promescent, the premium sexual wellness company, which is fancy talk for here's how you can be a better lay, all right? Promescent is going to make you a better lover, a stud, the greatest thing that ever happened to whoever you happen to be sleeping with. And here we're libertarians. We don't judge. Get in there. As long as they're consenting, could be anything. Promescent has a patented delay spray that's going to help you last longer in bed. With Promescent, you can last longer, have more fun, and show your partner a really great time. So go to promescent.com. They've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM, you're going to get 15% off. Once more, it's promescent.com, and the promo code is PROBLEM for 15% off. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Thank you. What's up, DC? Oh, man. Oh, thank you. Were you guys here for the stand-up show? You guys have a good time? All right. Very good. There we go, Rob. The camera is set up. This is Rob spent his annual salary on that camera, so let's hope it works, or it's going to be a rough 12 months. Is your mic not working, buddy?
Is it?
No. Doesn't sound like it is. I'll tell you, that's really going to...
I'll just yell at them, Dave!
Well, that's a...
You got a new one.
There you go. Here, right Rob, there. You're... There we go. All right.
Hold on. Did you just turn it on? That's it. Just turn it on.
Do you remember
the... He's a producer for a podcast.
That was literally the old Seinfeld joke. We go, well, the major problem is you see this switch that's on off? It has to go on. Rob, I liked your solution of just yell at people, but that doesn't work great for the audio podcast. And as happy as I am to entertain these 200 people, there are 100,000 listening. And I'd like them to hear it live as well. That's right. Just enough to storm the Capitol. And I'm kidding. I do not feel like that joke is appropriate to make in this town yet. But in another year, it's going to be hilarious.
We could probably tip over to Washington Monument, though, like a cow.
Well,
that is so much cooler than storming the Capitol.
Hell yeah.
Why did they do that?
We live in an environment where when you're tipping over government monuments, they have to go, are you doing this because it's racist?
Yes.
And if you say yes, then they're like, proceed.
First of all, it's a big white dick, Dave.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. But if you're doing it because... So here's the truth. Here's the secret. We just got to convince them that we love freedom because anything less is racist. And then we'll be allowed to tip over any monuments we want to. Which...
If you had to pick one monument that you would love to tip over, what would be your pick?
Ooh, I'm going Abe Lincoln all day. Yeah! Fuck you, motherfucker. You're going to come in here and invade our way of life and disrupt these happy black people. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, I've had a few drinks and I'm not thinking correctly, but seriously, he shouldn't have done that. Everyone has the right to secede.
I almost feel like Mount Rushmore would be fun because people would have to be like, how do you even pull that off?
Yeah.
Yeah, but leave Thomas Jefferson. He's cool. I mean, he was a pretty shitty president, but he wrote some great shit, you know? Like, Thomas Jefferson is kind of like, I don't know. He's like that guy who, like, his early work was pretty awesome. And then he just got, like, pretty gay after that. So I'm not going to defend everything he did, but at the beginning, you were like, I really like what he was going for. Listen, a lot of people, if Thomas Jefferson had died right after he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he would have been perfect, you know? Like, if he had just gotten Biggie Smalls'd after that shit, we would have all enjoyed him. Listen, let's be honest. If Biggie Smalls lived to today, he would have put out, like, 5 crappy albums, all right? And no one would have even enjoyed him. But he got killed right after Life After Death, so we all remember him as the great. And that's how shit works sometimes. Sometimes it's better to die young, you know? Like fucking Biggie or Martin Luther King or, you know, maybe Kennedy. Although he did. But like, listen, if George W. Bush, right after he came to Manhattan, remember when he gave that bullhorn speech and he was like, whoever knocked down these towers, you're going to hear from us real soon. If someone had just come up and shot him in the head, we would remember him as the greatest president who ever lived. But then he lived and he did that whole Iraq war thing and we were like, that guy sucks. He's pretty bad. Like, he's a pretty bad president. So that's all I'm saying is that we should all hope to get killed right before a big mistake. That's my point.
If Biggie was still alive, he'd be diabetic. And he would just have the nub and he would be scratching.
He'd be hosting a cooking show at Paula Deen.
Yeah, listen. Let me tell you something. Biggie Smalls would be missing at least one foot. He would, there would be some sexual harassment allegations that would come out. Pretty good. Like, he told me on a voicemail in 1992 to suck his dick, and then they'd play the message, and it'd be like, he put that on his album. So, like, he really, there's no denying that he said that. Like, that was track 3. It's just track 3 on Ready to Die. So, which, by the way, great album. So, all right. But, of course, I got, for this live podcast, as always, Robbie the Fire Bernstein and a special guest. Yes, of course. And special guest, who you guys enjoyed hosting the show tonight, Chris Pega, my brother. And me and Chris, for people who listen to the show, know he's been on many times. And we grew up together in Brooklyn, New York. We've been friends for fucking an embarrassingly long amount of time.
You're fucking old people.
We are. We are friends for, I mean,
20.
I was going to say 20, and then I realized that would take me back to 18.
Yeah.
And we've been friends for substantially longer than that. 20, at least 25
years. Yeah, 25
years. We've been friends for, and we've watched this whole fucking world change. And I know a lot of you guys out here in D.C. are around our age. And isn't it pretty amazing to watch where the country is now compared to where it's been? Now, let me ask you guys in D.C., what exactly has been the experience like? And I'll have to ask in some type of, like, clap for this answer, because none of you are mic'd yet, although we will do a question and answer segment in a little bit where all you guys can ask questions if you have them. Has the COVID shit gotten max crazy again?
Yes.
It's coming back.
We saw a lot of outside masks driving in.
We were driving in and we're seeing, like, I don't know, there's something about seeing, like, fucking 30-something-year-olds in masks outside. And they're not even, like, around anybody else with this mask on.
It's hot, take it off.
Like, you almost try to, like, remind them, and they're like, okay, so just tell me in the way back times, like 2019, how ridiculous would you have looked right now? And they're out there wearing them, and it is something weird to see. So I assume the people who are at this show, I mean, maybe there's five of you who are like, I just walked into this white supremacist event. I don't know what's happening. But the rest of you are against it. So are, you know, right? Are you against all the COVID incentives? So this is what I want to ask. Are you guys optimistic about where this is all going to go?
No.
No. All right.
So that sucks. I moved to Florida.
Well, I'll tell you, there's been about maybe like nine different things that my wife has been asking me to either like, we should buy a house, we should invest in this, we should do this. And I will say, and libertarians give me shit for this, because I know we hate Federal Reserve notes, but I'm like, we are keeping our money liquid, baby, because we might be moving real soon. So let's just get ready to get the fuck out of here. I'm like, baby, we're keeping our money in cash and our suitcases packed, because we'll see how weird this is going to go over the next year. But if things keep getting weird, we may all have to be out of here. But I will tell you this. I don't, and this is all start, and then we'll go into some fun topics and then questions and answers and all that. But I will tell you, don't ever allow yourselves to be pessimistic, as you just kind of indicated when I said who's optimistic, and no one fucking clapped. Let me tell you something, and this is my audience of a sold-out show, and this probably doesn't help me to say, but stop being a bunch of bitches. Okay, you have nothing to be pessimistic about. My fucking grandfather was 13 years old. He was a Jew living in fucking Germany when the Nazis rose up. Okay, he got out. He was 13 when they came into power, 17 when he escaped the country, 19 when he joined the U.S. military to go back and fight in World War II. Okay,
which is fucking badass, dude.
Listen, it's. You're not helping anyone. He's dead. But the point is...
What a pussy, Dave.
Yeah. No, listen. I'll tell you, honestly, hid under a bunker the whole time. But the point is... No, but listen. Don't let yourself get into this fucking, like... Don't catastrophize what the fuck is happening in your life. Yeah, shit's bad right now. We're at a real turning point. I'm not trying to downplay it, but you know what? My grandfather never was fucking pessimistic. He was always fucking hopeful for the future. So shut the fuck up. We're all going to be hopeful for the future. We're going to make this shit happen. Like, don't... Thank you. Now, let's have some fun. All right, Rob, what were the topics that we wanted to discuss on the podcast today?
Well, I think the first one we should get into is Chris Cuomo is going down.
No, Chris Cuomo is doing just fine. Andrew Cuomo is
Fredo,
having a tough
Fredo
time.
Fredo Cuomo?
My bad.
Did you guys ever see
Cooper
that video?
Mayo?
By the way, you know the fucking, the reference of Fredo with some random dude called Chris Cuomo Fredo, and he snapped, ooh, that cut close to the bone, huh, Chris? It's like, what do you mean, Fredo? That's an anti-Italian. But my
did
wife.
Did Fredo lift fake weights?
dude, my wife and all my in-laws they're all Italian. And when it happened, I remember talking to them and being like, "He's saying Fredo is an Italian slur."
Fucking retarded.
And I remember asking them, "You're Italian,
dude?" I've been Italian my entire life.
All of it.
All of it. And look, they were just calling him the Cooper Manning of the Cuomo family. Like, let's just blow out a knee and sell insurance, you fucking dickhead. Like,
the idea that you are, that it's an Italian slur to call someone Fredo, it's like, no, you're the idiot brother. And in Cuomo's case, you're the idiot brother from a guy who's not that smart to begin with. So you're really the idiot brother.
If Chris goes down, does Andrew lose his job?
No.
He gets to stay.
I think you're reversing it again. If Andrew goes down, does Chris lose his job?
Oh, if Andrew goes down, does Chris lose his job?
Yeah.
No. One of them can keep their jobs without the other one. But I will say that what's interesting, right, is that so CNN's official defense is that Chris Cuomo is not going to talk about Andrew Cuomo because it's a conflict of interest.
But he'll get on calls and consult a rapist.
Well, yeah.
Well, you're like, listen, bro, I know you raped this chick, so here's what you got to do. He's allowed to do that.
Oh, that is, you know what? Actually, ma'am.
Let's call him a grandma killer. That's what he is.
You know what?
He's also a grandma rapist, you know, miss. We don't know what he was doing.
Hold on. She made a fair point, and so did Chris. He raped that grandma after he killed her, all right? No, listen. That is actually a good point. He is not an accused rapist. He's basically accused of being a weirdo, which is evidently illegal these days.
And he is a weirdo, and he also killed grandmas, and he should resign.
We get it. You hate Italians. Shut up.
I don't even think she hates Italians as much as I think she was both raped and around a weirdo. Like she's like, I've been around both, and I know the difference.
Hold on. To be fair and to speak to this dumb bitch's point, I think.
Sir, he doesn't believe that. He doesn't. Yeah. Sir, he's on a weird medication. And
that Jew said who can't control his chick over there is gonna fuck you up after the show, Rob.
He's on a weird medication that makes him make excellent points. I apologize for what he just said. It's a side effect of the citrullipon.
it's true. The AG decided that they weren't going to investigate him for the nursing home deaths, which obviously they don't want to unravel that they boosted the death numbers in order to make this seem like a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like they're trying to get rid of him over the claims of sexual assault, which until they're criminal, I feel like for everything we said of the Mueller investigation of...
Mueller. By the way, Mueller. You've been saying this for... I swear to God, Rob, me and you have been correct on this issue, on the most... aside from COVID, the most important issue of our lifetime, me and you, these two retard comics, have gotten it right the entire time. Literally, our track record has been flawless. And yet, the whole time, you keep saying Mueller. It's Mueller, okay? The Mueller investigation.
At this point, I'm in too deep, so I'm committed to Mueller. I'm not going to backtrack
Rob
that.
To the front. Mueller. Mueller.
No, but what we said there was that they were trying to say, we've gathered the evidence and it's not enough to prosecute, but this isn't a vindication. That's not the way that the legal system works. So what's going on with Cuomo is a similar thing where they did an investigation and they said, hey, there's 12 accounts here, but until it actually goes to court, she's right.
Nobody is guilty of a crime until they've been charged and convicted.
But this one definitely did it.
Except for like obvious government crimes that we know about that they just don't fucking prosecute for. Yes, well that's right. Or honestly, if there are a fucking Republican who goes along with the whole fucking shit too, they'll be protected as well. Let's not fucking pretend for a second that the Republicans are shit. Fuck Republicans. Fuck them. And by the way, and I will say, and I said this at Freedom Fest, which was like a lot of Republicans in the crowd, but here is the truth, and I hope we, and I'm not saying this just to like seem like, oh, I'm in the middle. I'm saying this because it's the fucking truth. All this shit, listen, the 20th century was fucking ruined by the Republicans, by George W. Bush and by Dick Cheney. They fucking ruined this whole thing. That's why, you know, all this fucking shit, all the fucking wall being built around the Capitol and the war on terrorism and all of it, none of it needed to happen except those fucking Republican assholes did it. And then the Democrats were like, oh, this is so bad. But then they got power and they were like, there's a lot of power. And so I guess we're going to run with this.
All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Bambi. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries, they are not cheap. An average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business, and they help manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. It's month-to-month, there's no hidden fees, and you can cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance, so let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today by going to Bambi.com/POTP. Right now, you can schedule that free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/POTP. Bambee.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show.
Okay, so Cuomo, the details of his accusations came out. The AG did say that he is guilty of crimes, which is fine, but then they're sitting there like, well, so maybe the state Senate should impeach him or whatever, but it's like, look, if he's guilty of crimes, then charge him with the fucking crimes and let him fucking go on trial and defend him. And evidently his crimes are, as I said before, being an old Ginzo. I don't know. Like, his crimes are like pinching an ass and making a bitch eat a sausage. Dude, that's like... That's Thanksgiving where I come from. I don't know about you people, but...
Dude, this sausage thing is so great. But he's like, I bet you can fit that whole thing in your mouth, lady. He literally said that to some woman at a county fair. You could fit that whole thing in your mouth.
Listen,
my dad was a compulsive gambler. Can he be the governor? What the fuck are we doing? Like,
listen, I'm just going to say, as someone, like, my wife's Italian, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my fucking whole, like,
and they all grab your titties?
Listen, as a skinny Jew around a lot of Italians, and I can't tell you how many times a sausage has been held out and I have heard manja, 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 and I've had to sit there and be like, I'm full, you know? And sure, do I feel a little bit abused in the moment? Yeah, but I don't go to the fucking cops like a pussy, you know? I just fucking take another bite and then I go, oh, I think I hear my phone. There you go.
What
Thank
the
you,
fuck is
Jewish.
manja? I've never heard this.
It just means eat, eat, eat.
Eat, eat, eat. Let me tell you, the Italians only have 5 words, and 4 of them mean eat. So,
dude, my last name actually means enthusiastic eater.
Don't you miss a time when names meant something?
And the 5th one is titties are okay to be grabbed.
Manja, 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 grab a titty, manja. I don't know. Welcome to Italian Christmas. What do you want to do here?
That's a great lifestyle, just overeating and grabbing titties. Let's move to Italy, dude. The worst.
Now, the fucked up thing about CNN is that, so Chris Cuomo, like I was saying before, he said...
Advisor to sexual assaulters.
I'm not going to report because there's a conflict of interest, so he won't talk about his brother's sexual assault allegations, which would be cool if... during the whole pandemic, he hadn't had Cuomo on nightly for fucking fluff pieces where they... So, if you know, you remember that shit, right? Where he would have him on and they'd just be like, you're such a great governor and thank you for shutting everything down and it's totally cool the way you're sending these people into nursing homes and all that. So, if that was okay, like, if back then, they should have said, hey, Chris Cuomo can't report on Andrew Cuomo because they're brothers. And then he would have a complete... legitimate out to say he's not going to report on it now. But you can't only report on the good shit
right.
And not report on the bad shit. Like, you can't just be like, oh no, he's a hero, and then you're like, well, now he's a villain, and you're like, well, I can't talk about that. Like, you know, so that's what they're trying to fucking pull, which is obvious bullshit. He's going to go down, but not for the right reasons. And that's a big problem, you know? Like, not going down for the right reasons really fucks everything up. Because if he went down for the right reasons, then all these fucking lockdown governors should go down with him.
Yes.
But you know what I mean? They're not. Like, and so that's the problem. This is what I was saying, by the way, during fucking Trump, where I was like, listen, I'd be happy for Trump to be fucking locked up and fucking put in a cell 60 miles underground for the rest of his life for the fucking war crimes in Yemen, right? I'd be happy for him to do that. And by the way, the war crimes in Yemen or in Syria or in Iraq or fucking, you know, like any of them, in Somalia, any of them. Fuck him, and he should fucking go to jail for the rest of his life. But when they try to put him in jail for fucking, you know, talking to a Ukrainian or for fucking, you know, all this other bullshit, the problem is that then that lets everyone else off the hook. So if he had gone down for his war crimes, great. But then guess what? He's going to be joined in that cell by fucking Barack Obama and George W. Bush and fucking Bill Clinton and fucking Carter. And those are the only ones alive. But besides them, you know, I'm looking to lock up ghosts after that shit. But I, by the way, I'm coming for those ghosts. Where the fuck you at, George H.W.? Is he here? We are in Washington, D.C., so I want to make sure he's not here. So that's the problem with getting him for the wrong fucking shit, and that's what's going on with Cuomo right now. So even if they get him, it won't mean anything for the bigger picture. All right, what's our next fucking topic?
Obama.
Ooh, Barack Obama had a nice party. Speaking of war criminals.
It was popping.
Gotta say, I wish I was at that party.
You look really fun.
Looked like a great party.
Dude.
Obama. It's got to suck to have gotten the original invite and then the cancellation invite, even though the party's still happening.
Yeah, they did. They canceled like half the people invited, right?
Bullshit.
But you sound like you got the original invite. Like fucking bullshit. I was supposed to go. Man, so what was it that happened? So they set up a tent outside his house? For the Delta variant? I like that they have these fucking tents that has a ceiling and walls, but they're like, but it's outside. And you're like, that's inside, motherfucker. Like, that's what inside is.
Also,
it's a ceiling and walls. That's inside.
Obama's 60 and he smokes. That guy's at risk.
Yeah, but you know what? He'll fucking drain a three-pointer on you.
He still gets Newports like the good Newports, right? Like
that's how corrupt he is. He's still getting the fucking good Newports.
Yeah, he still gets
Newports.
The good. They were like, we're gonna cut this off a little early and just stockpile Newports, like oil in Texas for Obama.
Like Obama's Newports have nothing but like Arabic writing on them. Like he's like, I get this from the fucking Saudis. You know what I mean? It's that old shit. So yeah, so there were videos of them like fucking dancing and shit. I don't know. What else is there to this story?
No, about? So what first is he said, hey, because of the COVID variant, the Delta variant and the fact that they're now making recommendations that everyone should wear masks and it's apparent that a new shutdown is coming, we're going to be responsible and we're not going to throw the party. But then videos came and he still threw a party. He had a ton of people over, wealthy, connected individuals. And they were out there and they were partying, not wearing masks, having a good old time. So it's a classic example of laws, you know, laws for everybody else.
Well, they had a separate tent to the side for McAfee and Epstein.
Yeah, they're doing great.
Yeah. I could see the two of them dating. I could see that.
McAfee and Epstein?
Yeah, that's a good relationship.
They look enough alike, but like Epstein's a little hotter. You know?
But I think Epstein's way shorter, so it kind of balances out.
Yeah, he's clearly the power bottom, you know.
Yeah.
Alright,
no one talks about Epstein's tight little ass. They don't talk about it,
dude.
Victims do. Alright, listen, you guys have given me a lot to think about here and mull over, but let me say this, okay, because this is what I think is the important thing to take away from all this shit, right? And it's not just, there's two levels to it, right? Like, the number one level, which is obvious, is that it's the whole, like, rules for thee but not for me shit. And that's what fucking Tulsi Gabbard fucking roasted that pig Kamala Harris for on stage, right? Which was a brilliant example of that, right? How you go, like, look, how the fuck are you gonna fucking joke around about smoking weed in college when you put thousands of fucking people, including poor people, black people, like, you know, like the fucking most vulnerable people in our society, you're willing to rip their family apart over weed, whether it's selling it or fucking possessing it or whatever. It's like you're willing to rip them apart and throw them in a fucking cage, literally, quite literally, enslave them over having weed. And then when someone asks you if you've smoked weed, you laugh about it and go, oh, I was listening to Snoop Doggy Dogg, even though that was fucking 15 years before the fucking
right.
Or after.
Well,
I don't know. How old is this
before,
bitch? No, after. But okay, so that's the thing, right? It's one, is this like elitist shit where whatever rules they're pushing on you, they don't fucking they don't follow themselves. But there's something when it comes to the COVID shit that's much more important than any of that. It's not just that they have their own set of rules. And this is what's really important when it comes to the COVID shit. And this is the thing to take away. It's that they don't believe this shit.
Yes.
Not that we don't believe it. They don't believe this shit. Whether it was the fucking scientist in the UK going to fuck his side piece after
she was cute
he had
chick.
Recommended. You know what? Not going to lie. Pretty cute chick. I get it. But the point is, that whether it's that one or it's the fucking, you know, it's Nancy Pelosi or Dianne Feinstein or Fauci or any of them. Right, exactly. All of them, they're out with their masks not on. They're out fucking, Gavin Newsom's out with his mask not on. Those guys, it's not just that it's rules for you and not for you. They're not worried about getting sick because they fucking know this whole thing is bullshit. So that's the important thing to pay attention to right there. It's that they're not worried. They're not. They're making all you guys fucking paranoid and mask up. There's not, like, listen, by the way, I'm not saying COVID's not a fucking nasty virus. It is. You don't really want to get it. But the flu's a nasty virus, and the fucking common cold is often a nasty coronavirus.
Herpes.
None of them are. And herpes is something that two out of the three of us have lived with for a long time.
Whatever.
So I'm just saying, you can guess.
You
I'm
can fit this
saying,
whole sausage in your mouth, I bet.
But I'm saying, so that's the fucking point, right? Is that they do not believe this. They're pushing all this shit on you. We need these vaccine passports. But they have this whole time been quite comfortable to go hang out amongst themselves. Now, if this was, if they really believed in all this shit, they wouldn't be fucking doing that. But they are. So pay attention to that shit. Everybody.
No, agreed, and it's awesome that they got the pictures of them fucking partying and defying their own rules.
And isn't it so weird that Obama had lasers coming out of his eyes? Like, where the fuck did that come from? That was added, probably.
Dave, you can't vape in the building.
Oh, you can't? You
some
can't
guy held up a sign while you were doing that diatribe a minute ago, and I that's why
oh,
I tapped
no vaping? Oh, okay, yeah. I'm sorry, no vaping. Yeah. I thought there was like maybe a
we're all going to die of corona anyways, dude. What the fuck?
Dude, can he vape
with a... Do you see one mask in this audience? We're coughing and sneezing on each other.
Can he vape with a mask on?
I gave a guy a fresh batch of AIDS in the bathroom. I did it.
Is there... I thought there was like a fucking, like a performer's clause or something in that. No? No one did that? Remember... Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Let me tell you something.
Turns out Dave Chappelle is the mayor of D.C.
Well, I was always under that impression. But yeah. I was fine with rules for thee and not for me when I was the thee. I just didn't realize. All right. Yeah, if I'm hanging at Obama's party, I'm dancing it up like, fuck you, wear masks, bitches. You know, like, but. All right, fine. All right. Well, listen, I think, is that, let's fucking take some questions from the audience.
All right, I'll get out there.
To say. If anyone has a question, Rob's going to come around with his microphone, ask him away. We'll brought, and nothing is off limits, except, like, you know, those five things I told you before we started. I seriously can't vape up here, man, what the fuck?
Dude, while he's looking for somebody, I just want to point out, there's a guy we can't see that has a weird curly mustache in the back, which I didn't think I would see in Washington, D.C. I saw him when we were walking back in here.
Oh, I like that shit.
It's like really annoying, because now I want him to groany.
I don't know. I just felt pretty weird about the way I said, I like that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean anything weird by it. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Quip. I've been telling you guys about Quip for a while. I love this company. My toothbrush is from Quip. My wife uses the toothbrush as well. I get my floss from them. And now I'm also getting my mouthwash from them. Quip is the company that takes care of your mouth. All of your oral hygiene habits, they're going to take care of it. It's an unbelievable company. I'll tell you, I've used a lot of mouthwashes in the past. This is my favorite ever. Your mouth feels so clean after you use the Quip mouthwash. It kills bad breath germs, helps prevent cavities, and it leaves you feeling fresh thanks to a formula that gives your mouth everything it needs and nothing it doesn't. The refillable dispenser is awesome. Its compact footprint will fit in any bathroom, big or small, and with five colors and two high end finishes to choose from, you're guaranteed to find a dispenser that matches your style. For me, I'm on the road, I'm traveling a lot. One of the awesome things about Quip is they make these travel cases for everything as well, so it's always ready to go. But listen, I just started trying the mouthwash. If you're like me and you've been using the other Quip stuff, make sure to check out the mouthwash. It's the perfect finishing touch to a complete oral care routine. Pair it with Quip's electric toothbrush for adults and kids and one of their refillable flossers.
and you'll be surprised at how easy it is to keep your whole mouth healthy. And Quip now has a great tasting, good for you gum that can help keep your teeth clean between brushings. Definitely go check them out. With affordable refills plus free shipping, it's so easy to keep your whole mouth healthy. Join the over 5 million mouths that have already started using Quip, and start using it today. And if you go to getquip.com/problem5 right now, you can get $5 off a mouthwash starter kit. That's $5 off a mouthwash starter kit, which includes the refillable dispenser and a 90-dose supply of Quip's 4-time concentrated formula. Getquip.com/problem5. That's getquip.com/problem5. Quip, the Good Habits Company.
All right, if you have a question, raise your hand. Robbie the Fire Bernstein will come over to you. And if I could grab another beer up here, that would be awesome. Seeing as how I can't vape.
We could gamble. You got any? Anybody got dice?
Can we do heroin? Like, yeah. Is there anything we're allowed to do up here? Shrooms are legal in D.C.?
Holy shit, really?
Fuck. All right.
Thank God I ate all those shrooms before we drove here.
He was all over the road, but he always missed the cars, you know? All right, what do you got, Robbie? I can't see you. Where are you?
So Obama's birthday got me thinking of Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, a guy who will never see another birthday. He was a 16-year-old child.
Anwar
al-Awlaki's son.
Anwar al-Awlaki's son.
He was assassinated 2 weeks after his father. And you can say what you will about his father being a terrorist and all, but Anwar al-Awlaki was a 16-year-old child. And, you know, we see thousands of celebrities wanting to attend Obama's party, hundreds actually attending. How do we communicate to our friends and family that we are led by monsters who don't care that they assassinated a 16-year-old child?
Yeah, well, that's right. That's a good point, and that he was a U.S. citizen. Not that that should matter on a moral level, but it should, you know, because, like, fucking killing a 16-year-old is killing a 16-year-old wherever they are. But there is something, and maybe this is, the last vestige of nationalist American pride that I have, but there is something to being an American citizen where you go like, no, motherfucker, like, that's an American citizen. He gets, like, you do not get to assassinate an American citizen. An American citizen gets a trial with a fucking lawyer. And, you know, as Scott Horton always says, he gets a lawyer in a suit and tie, a judge in a robe, and a jury of his peers. And so I'll say this. What the Obama administration claims that wasn't a targeted assassination. That's their claim. Now, no one believes this shit because it's just too ridiculous. But they admit that Anwar al-Awlaki was a targeted assassination. Now, of course, they're going to admit he was a targeted assassination, and then claim his son a couple weeks later was not. So, you know, do with that what you will, but that's, you know. But I don't care. Even his father, who supposedly, you know, not supposedly, he did, you know, pledge allegiance to al-Qaeda. That is true. His father was. But the truth is that his father, Anwar al-Awlaki, was literally like the best Muslim in the world until he was radicalized. Like, after 9/11, he was in New York, and he was saying, like, listen, this is wrong what al-Qaeda did on 9/11. It's wrong what we do in foreign policy. No one should kill innocent people at all. And then in Yemen, he was imprisoned by the U.S. puppet dictator there. He was tortured in jail. All types of fucked up shit happened, and he did become radicalized. Like, there's no question about that. But still, I don't fucking care. If an American citizen pledges allegiance to al-Qaeda, or even worse, the Proud Boys, or something like that, you know what I mean? I don't care. They are an American citizen with rights, and they do not get executed. They get a trial. They get a jury trial with a lawyer to defend them and a judge to preside over it. So, no matter, like, I just like taking that example, because even the Obama administration admits that that was a targeted assassination, and that is enough to be a fucking crime against the Constitution and humanity, and Obama should be in prison for the rest of his fucking life over that shit. So, I will say to your point that if we're going to be obvious and acknowledge that, yeah, the 16-year-old kid was clearly targeted in that, That 16-year-old kid did not pledge allegiance to Al-Qaeda. He did nothing wrong. He was just that guy's kid, and so they fucking killed him. And it's fucking evil, man. So I don't know what else to say, but that's the reality of the situation. Honestly, the thing to say is even just to let people know about that, because most people don't even fucking know about any. Or if they forgot, if they ever knew. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so that's it.
So wait, what did he pull his wallet out really fast in front of a Predator drone? I don't what happened?
Well, in that case, I get it.
Yeah.
All right, we got another question over here.
What do we got?
Okay, Dave. Oh, yeah. So I actually work with a lot of politicians. I won't give away what I do. But
Fluffer. That's you.
I would make more money if I did that, but thank you for that.
That's not cool.
I did a little bit of work at the RNC last year and the DNC, and I will tell you straight
up. Wait, you worked for both?
Yep. So, so I take money wherever it comes from, and I will tell you that it was all bullshit. And after that, I kind of did whatever I wanted after seeing the COVID and how they responded to it. But basically, my question for you is very similar to the gentleman behind me, is how do we start turning this ship around? Because I work in the artist community, and they're really fucking dumb and really fucking blind.
Yeah.
It's a cultural fucking nightmare right now.
So I just wanted to clarify, her question is, how do we make artists less retarded?
That's a tough question. So, I mean,
we should probably start burning down art schools. Storm the art schools.
Holy shit. Is that Yamanika on the side over there? Oh, shit. So, I don't know if I have, like, a good answer for how we start turning this shit around, you know? And if I did, believe me, I'd be doing it right now. But I really do think, unfortunately, what we got to understand is that it's a long march. To borrow a phrase from the commies, you got to do it person by person, interaction by interaction, and find the people. There are a lot of people, and I'm sure all you guys have seen this through the COVID times, but I remember like seeing this through the fucking war on terror times too, where there were people who were just not going to listen. Like, they're bought in to the fucking ideology. Like, that's it. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists, and you're with, you know, and right now it's like you're either with us or you want to kill people and all that. But if you find people who are kind of at least somewhat open and looking for truth, talk to those people and do your best. If you want to persuade people, the first rule is be the person who you might be persuaded by, you know, which is not usually the guy lecturing you about how fucking stupid you are and how he just owned you, which is like what all of Twitter is, you know? And I'm just as guilty as anyone, because that's all I fucking do on Twitter is people try to own me, and I'm like, fuck you, motherfucker, I just owned you, you know? And that is for an audience. That's not for that person. If you ever want to convince a person, the only thing to do is to leave the door open for them. You got to offer them a reason why they would want to come over to your side, you know? And so you got to figure out what that is for every individual, but it's an individual level thing. And so if you can find the person who can be reached and find the best way to reach them, then that's it. That's what you got to try to do. And I know that's not a silver bullet like everyone's looking for, but that's it. You know, like, try to fucking find people who are open-minded and willing to have a conversation, and then give them, like, it's almost like, in a weird way, you got to find a way. Everybody, myself included, and everyone here too, a lot of the reason we like to all think that we arrive at our views purely based on the evidence and logical thinking and all that. But a lot of it is that we like the role that we play in this narrative. We like the role, like, I'm the guy who understands this. And what you want to do is offer them a role in our world.
Yes.
Like, if you come over here with us, you are this person who's really cool. You know what's really cool? The person who used to believe that and comes over and believes this now. So we got to find a way to give them that. Because otherwise we're just fucking fighting, and you don't want to be fighting each other, because we're all against the fucking same thing. You
Dave,
know?
May I? Can I? May I just bring up something we were talking about in the car?
No, but all right. The point is,
yes, go ahead. No, please do. Please do.
We were talking in the car, and I was like, "Yo, it's a surprising amount of people that I can talk to on a daily basis where you can talk to them and go, as bad as Donald Trump, as much of a dickhead as Donald Trump was." It's very obvious that the media coverage of Donald Trump was more damaging to the country than Donald Trump himself. And the amount of people who are staunch liberals who voted for Joe Biden will just be like, you're right. Like, immediately, their gears start turning. And that's just the thing.
Yes, things like that, it's a great thing to point out because it makes people think. Anything that makes someone think. And look, if you can say something that makes people think and their immediate reaction is to go like, well, fuck you, then it's like, that person you're probably not going to reach. But if you can make someone think and they're kind of interested in that, then keep trying to talk to that person. That's it. It's got to be done like person by person, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood. Like, that's how we have to do this if we're going to do anything.
Just the way COVID spreads.
Or racism. All right.
All right. We might be taking a risk on this one, but we're doing it.
Oh, no.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
So, I'm a law student. I'm a rising 2L.
Ooh.
I'm at the most liberally acclaimed law school in the country.
Which is?
American University. I didn't know that before I went there. My question to you is, I found in the last year, as much as I identify as a conservative and a libertarian, the biggest thing I believe in is I want to talk to people who disagree with me. I think that's the most important thing we can have in America, that we can respect people that don't agree with us. And we can respect that whatever they think, they probably brought it to us knowing we disagree with them because they've gone through something meaningful in their lives. And I feel like that's been lost in America. And I feel like that's been lost in my university, and I've been shot down because of that. And I want your advice, how we kind of confront that and how I deal with that at such a liberal university and what your advice would be.
Join the Federalist Society.
I am the VP of marketing at the Federalist Society.
Does she know this isn't a pageant?
Well, listen. You know, I'll tell you something, and me and Chris are both around the same. I'm 38. How old are you?
I just turned 38.
So we're the same age, and I'll tell you something really sad in a way, and this is not going to help or answer your question at all, but, you know, people around our age, it just wasn't this big of a deal to disagree politically when we were your age. Like, it just wasn't. It was like, even if someone, like, first off, it was completely acceptable when I was your age to just be like, I don't give a shit. That was completely acceptable.
That shit is fucking gay. Was like what are you registered to vote as? Shut up, homo. It was the fucking...
That was...
Have you talked about fucking politics outside in New York City in 2001?
Like, no,
somebody would
cared.
Spit in your eye.
Like, no one cared. But that really is true, man. Like, no, it just wasn't this environment where, like, it was so... And my thing, and that I've said for a while now, is that I really do think that it's like the... Like, this is my libertarian analysis of all of this, is that the bigger government has gotten, which government has gotten drastically bigger in the 21st century. I mean, with George W. Bush drastically expanding the government, then Obama comes in and drastically expands it from that, and believe it or not, Trump drastically expands it from that. And now we find ourselves in this situation where everyone has to be super politicized. And that's kind of the problem that we're dealing with. And it really is this environment now where if you don't agree with someone on their politics, they like feel like they have to go to war with you. And in some way, they're not wrong because we're competing over everything. Like, who's going to rule the other one? And we've lost this thing where people could just be friends and just... So I don't know. I don't know exactly what the answer to navigate these waters are. I'm a guy. I'm like, look, I'm not in your class. I'm not in... I'm
a lot of the-
No, I know. That's my point.
And a
American. I'm not arguing with you. You're right. You're right. I think it does suck. I'm just making.
Yeah, no, it's super fun to be a conservative comedian in New York City. It's fucking great.
What are you talking about?
Listen, but she's right. She's right. Hold on 1 second.
To be the record, I did take the mic away from her, by the way.
I swear to God, Robbie, since you took the mic away, she's gotten louder. Here's what I'm saying.
That's just Mardi Gras energy at this point.
I'm acknowledging I'm not in your situation. I'm a father pushing 40 who's with his wife and his kids who's not, and you're in this situation, which is tough, and I don't know exactly how to navigate through it. What I'm telling you is that, look, when I was your age, we didn't have to navigate through this. And maybe the best path is for you to try to, like, let those people know that's like, listen, we don't have to navigate through this, and stop trying to talk politics to them and be friends with them. And, like, don't, like, leave all this shit aside and almost go, like, listen, because that's what we want ultimately. Yeah. What we want, listen, I'm not saying this is a silver bullet answer and you're going to be thrilled with this, but maybe the way to attack those people is to just show them that you really care about them, that you're a good friend, and that ultimately what we want is to not give a shit about any of this. And wouldn't it be better if we didn't have to be fighting this fucking culture war? Because, look, at the end of the day, I said this at Freedom Fest to a bunch of the fucking Republicans in the audience and tried to make them understand it. And I hope you guys can understand this easily. But I'll go right now in this audience, okay? In this audience, there is a fucking, like, you think about the culture war shit, how people are at each other's throats, okay? Right now in this audience, I guarantee you there is a Christian sitting next to an atheist. Now, who could have more diametrically opposed views than those two? Literally one of them believes that the Christian believes that the atheist is going to burn in a pit of fire for eternity. That, like, that's what they believe your fate is. And the atheist looks at the Christian and believes that guy is delusional. That his most sacredly held view is insane. And you know what they do? They sit next to each other and they laugh at the dumb shit I'm saying. That's what they fucking do. Like, that's, and it's right here in front of you. And I'm, by the way, like, sweetheart, I know this is not an answer to your question, but I'm just saying what happens is when politics are involved, you're at each other's throats. Because you know what? As soon as politics get involved, it's like, hey, is your kid going to be taught Christianity or atheism? And now, to one of them, that's life and death, and to the other, that's life and death. So we have to fight over it. But when it's just beliefs, all these different beliefs are out here right now. So I would say the first thing to try to do is just fucking almost diffuse the situation. Make friends. Make friends who love you. And then maybe after that, the next step is to try to gently nudge your political views into the situation. And also join the Mises Caucus. Michael Heiss. Which I, you know, by the way, and I just want to say one more time, I know that's not a great answer. I know it's not. And I'm sorry. I wish I had a better answer for what the
I don't know, dude. Everybody listens to Pretty Girls. Thank you. What the fuck is...
All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings the U.S. Postal and UPS shipping services right to your computer. They make it easy for small businesses to mail and ship without needing to take a trip to the post office. You can print official U.S. postage and shipping labels 24/7 without having to leave your desk or buy any fancy equipment. All you need is your computer and a standard printer. Once your mail is ready, you just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. Stamps.com is a no-brainer. It's saving nearly 1 million small businesses owners like you time and money. They offer deals that you can't get anywhere else, like up to 40% off USPS and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. And with their switch and save features, you can quickly compare carriers to find the best rate every time. Stop wasting time going to the post office. Go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with my promo code PROBLEM, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, all with no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in problem, that's stamps.com, and the promo code is problem. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. All right, let's get back into the show.
All right.
All right, what do you got, Rob?
Hey, Dave.
What's up, brother?
Hey. So you've talked about your vaccination status on the podcast.
As long as we're here in D.C., totally vaccinated.
There you go.
Like five times.
Bruh.
Just like you, I'm a new dad. And
congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. My wife
Hold
is...
Hold on. How old?
She, 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And my wife lets me come to this. She's
boy
pretty
or girl?
Awesome. Boy.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Man.
And I know your wife is pregnant with your second.
Boy. Yes, I'm excited to have one. I got a 2.5-year-old girl, but I'm excited to have the boy. Congratulations.
I appreciate
brother.
It. So, I personally have not had the vaccination. Thank you. I'll let you hold this. And a lot of my family and my friends have. I'm getting a lot of pressure. And I personally, I'm not thrilled about getting this vaccine. I'm not necessarily counting it out. But I'm curious if you've had similar pressures from your family, from your friends, and what you've been saying to them, how you've been talking about this. Because it's not just, it's not as simple as saying nope. I'm not going to get it. It's you have to sort of have some artillery behind your words, and I'm curious about what your thoughts are.
Can I hop in on this?
Oh, Rob's a vaccine talk. Hold on. Yeah, just move away from the fucking speaker.
Yeah.
You know what? No. It was cool. And your question, by the way, it was a really great question. The problem is just if we're gonna have people by the speaker talk, they gotta come up to you because it's if you put the mic by the speaker like that, it's gonna be bad. But I will. I think that was a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. Rob's excited to jump. Fuck Big Jay Oakerson. Jump in on this question, Rob. Let's
thank
fucking.
You.
Oh, thank you for the five people who listen to Legion of Skanks live. There we go. There we fucking go. No, listen, Rob, you go ahead. You answer first, and then I'll answer after.
I gotta go.
I got the same thing. My entire family is vaccinated, and they all thought that I was absolutely insane for not being vaccinated, but I find it's two things. One is, like, your family doesn't want to not get along with you, so when they see that you have a real conviction about something, at some point they realize, oh shit, I gotta respect this. And you kind of have to put that back on them. Like, I'm not disrespecting your opinion. I haven't sat down with you and said, you shouldn't go do something. I'm not disrespecting you, so why are you doing that to me? And I feel that once people realize that you seriously have a conviction, you're actually, in a way, offended by the fact that they're attacking you, they tend to kind of settle down. The other thing, and I don't suggest that anyone else do this, is become autistic, read everything that exists online, and then when anyone says anything, you just regurgitate all of that, and then they realize, you know what, I'd just rather not talk to him.
That's a great... That's
wait,
a great
Rob, the only way you can become autistic is if you take the vaccine now.
That is... All right, so Rob just told you, take that vaccine. Get super autistic.
No, I think...
Take it
really
again.
Really get good at math.
Take it like five more times. Well, let me say, Rob, before we go to the next question, that I would say... all right. So, first of all, I would say that your wife's already had the baby. The big... That wasn't... I didn't think that was like a big thing to say.
What the fuck? Saying,
that guy reacted like your wife gave birth to Satan.
There you go. Your wife's already had the baby.
You're let something
screwed.
Else come out of your wife's pussy, dude.
So the risky time, even according to like the fucking science, would be like late in her pregnancy, right? So this, I don't know, like the risk to newborns or something like that. That's newborns do fine, even in the rare cases.
And you don't even know them yet.
Well,
who cares? Well, like you guys are boys.
Look, even in the rare cases where they've contracted COVID, newborns have unbelievably like positive outcomes from it. So I just don't. I would say this: try to recognize that their instinct in telling you to do that is not that they're bad people. And that's that, you know, a lot of us, this is what I was saying before, like we divide amongst these political lines and it's like bad guys over there, good guys over here. They're saying this because they want your baby and your wife to be protected and all of this. So you also want your baby and your wife to be protected. So start from that starting point where you go like, listen, I agree with you. I want everyone to be protected. But tell me why you think this is going to protect a newborn and protect my wife, you know, and then like try to go through, like if you do that, you open the door to being like, yes, we agree. We want to protect everybody. So let's go through why we believe this is protecting everybody. That would be my case. The truth is that the strongest like argument is third trimester wife being pregnant. That's like where they say they're actually vulnerable. There is no scientific data that really leads you to believe that newborn babies are somehow susceptible. The truth is there's a much stronger argument to get a flu vaccine for newborn babies, and you just had a 7 weeks old, and you know we're not in the flu season anyway, and there hasn't been a flu season forever, so you know, like fucking there haven't been a flu all of a sudden, right? But so honestly, dude, fucking congratulations on having the new baby, and in my experience, when you have a new baby, everyone in your family wants to impose their thing on what you should do. And no matter what happens, they all just want to be around that baby. So they're gonna snap into whatever you want to do. But the final thing I'll say is, you're the dad. No one else is. It's your fucking job to take care of that fucking family. You make the decisions, and no one else does. So whatever you think is right, you fucking do. And no one else tells you what to fucking do. That's your job in life, is to protect that fucking kid. So fuck everybody else. You do that. All right?
And, all right, next up, we got a guy who looks just like me who said he wants to talk about the bank, so...
Rob?
Do you guys own them together?
Wait, hold on. Put your hands together and see if you melt into one.
Oh, like Time Cop at the end?
All right, so, Your Highness. Nice meet you. Mr. President.
Well done.
Hey, Mr. President. So we are quickly approaching like 30, what is it, gazillion dollars in actual debt. Is it gazillion? I think that's...
Who the fuck cares?
I like how you get as further back in the room, they're just drunker because it's closer to the bar.
Like, all right, you fucking president, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
Anyhow.
Like, all right, we're going to go to a guy four blocks away. You go, who the fuck do you think you are?
There's a homeless guy chugging Thunderbird. Who the fuck is Dave Smith?
So
that sounds like a fake name.
So what do you see as some actual possible realities of what our Federal Reserve are, these assholes right up?
It's the other way, sir.
right up my way. But what do you see as some actual possible things that they could do to reduce this debt, to eliminate that whatever, and what do you think will actually happen with
money machine go
default
burr
and succeed and storm the building? Let's fucking do it.
Well, so all right, so the Federal Reserve can't do it. All right, so the Federal Reserve can't do anything to fucking eliminate the debt. All they can do is monetize it and keep. All right. Let me answer the fucking question.
Did he just yell to let you answer? And then
immediately interrupted me when I was answering. Let him fucking answer. And I go, all right, well, fuck you, motherfucker. Like, all right, listen. I'll tell you. Listen, the Federal Reserve is like, you're asking a machine that's made to go one way if they can go the other way. So no, we're way past the point where the Federal Reserve is going to tighten or something like that. That's just not going to happen. I mean, look, if the Federal Reserve were to tighten and like raise interest rates or something like that, it would literally be the unraveling. Let me fucking finish.
Let him answer.
Yo, we should set this guy up with that drunk bitch.
Really?
They could have the most obnoxious child.
All right, going forward, a question, and then let me answer, and then let me fucking... That's it, all right? So They there's no option anymore to tighten. We're at 30 trillion with 0% interest rates. That's it. There's no more like if they were to tighten, it would unwind the whole fucking house of cards. So at this point, the truth is that what we need to do is fucking prepare for the next phase. And whether that's owning Bitcoin or some other crypto or some fucking commodity, some fucking precious metal, that's your fucking thing. Now, I'm not the guy. I know the Bitcoin community fucking hates me, but let me tell you, fine, I'm all for crypto. Like, yes, I'm all for Bitcoin. Own something else. You have to figure out what your investments are on a personal level. This thing, and this was the real message of Ron Paul, right? This isn't going in a different direction. Our fucking mission here isn't to push this in a different direction. Our mission here is to understand the direction this is going and try to get more and more people ready for what's about to happen. Because that's just the reality of the situation. The Federal Reserve is here to monetize the debt, to keep making this thing easier and easier. And I think it's going to blow up at some point very soon.
Like the world trade.
Yeah, there you go. And right. Biggie was talking about that shit in 92, motherfucker.
All right,
so that's all I got for you.
Let's take one more from the bleachers.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, brother?
Hey, raise your hand if you're an Iraq or Afghanistan veteran. What, three? Every night when I was over there, every one of our conversations were like your podcasts. And then I talked to these guys. They go home, and they bleed back to the left or the right. I'm telling you, these guys, they believe in the veteran. They believe in the libertarian cause, but we lose them. And it wasn't since Ron Paul till I saw that kind of reaction. What are you going to do back to get the vets? They're there. They're there for you.
Also, get that guy a shot on me.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. That's that round of drinks for that table on me. I appreciate what you're saying. Well, I mean, Chris said it first, but I'll fucking pay for
it. I'll let Dave pay for it. He's a headliner.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think there's, like, what to do to get those guys back is, I think, as simple as someone, like, actually standing up and saying what happened to those guys and why they were lied into these missions and understanding it. Not just somebody who just says the words, but who kind of, like, has spent enough time to understand what exactly happened in all of these conflicts. And I'll tell you that the bet to me, the key to it is guys like Dan McKnight, the guys who are the fucking bring the troops home, like the bringthetroopshome.us, the defend the guard guys. Those are the guys who really need to go out there. What we need to do is connect those anti-war vets with other anti-war combat vets to really, like, get them all on the same page. I think that from my perspective, all they ever wanted, like all the guys like you ever wanted, was someone standing up there telling the truth. And they just haven't had that since Ron Paul. So to me, it's like the same thing as the whole liberty movement. You know, where people are like, well, why has the liberty movement gone in these weird directions? It's like, because no one's been standing up there and just telling the truth and saying it like it is since Ron Paul. Yep. And so that's it. That's right. Since the Ron Paul revolution, just no one's been doing it. No one's been doing it like that guy. And so if you just get up there and explain, and the truth is that a lot of people, like, even if they kind of have this, like, well, we should end the wars, or this was bad, or I'm against the Iraq war, they don't really, like, they haven't demonstrated that they cared enough to bother to learn the basics of any of this shit. And for someone to stand up there and just say that, like, look, here's what happened, okay, that George W. Bush led us into a fucking, military intervention in Afghanistan that could have been 2 weeks long to get Al-Qaeda, and instead he decided to do a nation-building campaign there, and then he lied us into the war in Iraq, and then the war in Iraq that was supposed to empower somehow the fucking Sunnis to take over that region, obviously when you took out Saddam, empowered the Shiites in Iran to take over the region, and then they had to do the redirect and fucking try to fight off the Shiites, and they fucking funded and armed Al-Qaeda and fought on the side of Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria, and then if you just explain that all to them, I think you're likely to get a lot of those guys supporting you. So I think part of the thing is to fucking like really honor those people who really would have gone to war for all the right reasons. The people who are willing to go, for everyone here, that there's a lot of guys in the military who were willing to go put their lives on the line to protect your family. You know, like they were willing to do that, but they didn't. Because they were tricked into going to fucking fight a war for some fucking war profiteers, you know? And so, like, we should fucking, like, let those people know that we're like, on your side, and that just, like, fucking, as Scott Horton says, enough already. It doesn't have to be this way. Bring them all home. And that's the thing that separates us from everybody. That's the message to stand up and say, is that we're not like the fucking, you know, we're not Donald Trump who's saying we should have brought them home by March of this year into his second term that he didn't fucking win. Or we're not Biden saying, no, not March, September. We're going to stand up and say immediately, we're bringing all of the fucking troops home. That's the fucking Libertarian Party message that it should be. Tomorrow, we're starting the process of bringing all the troops home. You know those those videos, the most beautiful videos that we all love, where we watch on YouTube, where some soldier's coming home to his 8-year-old boy who he hasn't seen in 6 months? We're going to, guess what? Get ready, America. You're going to have a flood of those videos in the next 6 months because they're all coming home from everywhere. I'm talking about from Europe, from the Middle East, from Asia. They're all coming home. We don't need to be an empire. We're supposed to be a republic. And if that's not enough to get them, then I don't know. You tell me what I'm supposed to say.
We'll buy them all shots.
On the taxpayer dime.
Yeah.
All right, voluntary, completely voluntary, but you guys want to chip in.
All right.
All right, Rob, is that, what do we got here?
You want to take one more from the less drunk section?
Let's do one more. Here we go. Let's do one more from the sober section.
All right.
Hey, Dave, can't promise I'm sober, but I was just wondering, there's a lot of left libertarians or DC kind of beltway libertarians who don't think fondly of you, and I was just wondering if, you know, what can you say to them? Are you alt-right? Are you a Jewish Nazi? You know, all those things. Sorry.
Dave, I hate this. I'm clearly the Nazi amongst us. And
wait,
they keep giving you credit for all the Nazism.
How does a circumcision go for a Jewish Nazi? How do you...
They turn it into a little hat that, you know, makes you look like you're in the KKK.
They use the foreskin as a mustache?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, maybe I could be somewhat, I could be not that charitable and say that my guess is that the reason that so many of the, no pun intended, the reason that so many, I'll tell you that the Cato that so many of those people don't like me. Well, I mean, maybe it's because none of them could fucking fill up a show like this and get people enthusiastic about what they're saying, you know, and like, but I don't know. There seems to be a group of people who have agreed that I, you know, like they're libertarians, but they know how to do it. And they are kind of like in these like institutions and these groups, and they know how libertarianism is supposed to be done. And the way it's supposed to be done is to write these policy papers, you know, and work with these institutions and organizations and never say the thing that they've decided is the offensive thing that you can't say and all of this, you know? And I like come along and I'm like, well, fuck that. Because I don't think that's what this liberty shit is all about. And I think that what it's about is actually talking to regular people in a way that gets them, like, you know, that hits them, like the way it hit me. Like, that's all I try to do. As a comedian, right? Like, you guys watched my stand-up set before. All I try to do as a comedian is say what I think is really funny. Like, that's what I think will make you guys laugh, is, like, what I think is really funny, and then I tell it to you, and, like, see if you think it's funny. And when it comes to talking this political shit, I try to say the thing that I think would be the thing that would get me to be convinced over this, you know? And so I'm doing that, and then that's having a big effect, and it's getting all these people on board. And they're, like, furious, because they're like, no, that's not the blueprint. The blueprint is this way. And I don't know. The accusations of being, like, alt-right or fucking racist, like, what? I don't even know how to respond to this. Because I had, like, 3 alt-right people on my podcast over the last 5 years and talked to them. I mean, I don't know. I've had lots of different people on my fucking podcast of lots of different, you know, political persuasions. I don't necessarily agree with the political orthodoxy that those 200 people who marched in Charlottesville in 2017 were the worst human beings who have ever existed and the biggest threat to, you know, like, they were the threat of fascism. I don't know. I think that the Joe Biden administration announcing that they're moving the war on terrorism inward toward the American people is a much bigger threat of fascism than those people ever were. And I would, like, you know... I used to fucking walk by the Black Israelites. Like, you remember around Penn Station where they'd...
Yo, you ain't a Jew!
And I'd be like, all right, I wasn't that attached to it. Yeah. Like, whatever. And I used to talk to those guys, and it would always be like with a smile on my face, and they'd kind of have a smile on their face. And they're you know, they had some fucked up views, and lots of people have some fucked up views. But the idea that someone who has no political power or, like, any, you know, authority over anyone... that we have to flip out about them, but not the real people who are exercising this power over all of us, seems absurd to me. And the fact that all those, not all of them, but there's a lot of people at Cato and a few people at Reason who have really, like, agreed that I'm this horrible guy that needs to be stopped. Like, okay, I don't know. I don't know exactly what's motivating them to feel that way, but I will say that they can be upset with me for not being hard enough on, say, some fucking alt-right racist guy who has maybe might be sitting in jail right now, might be banned on Twitter and Facebook, or might be fucking, you know, like, literally somebody who has, like, no fucking, like, influence on anyone. They're mad that I'm not hard enough on that guy. Like, okay, well, I'm the one sitting here saying George Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump should be locked in jail for war crimes. So why don't they be as hard on the people who actually fucking matter, who actually have fucking bodies on their fucking record? If they could be as hard on those people, then maybe I'll listen to them when they tell me that I'm not hard enough on these people who have no power over anyone. And for them to say, like, it's like, you know, there might be some homeless guy who you walk down on, you know, walk by on the street tonight who's like, we should kill all the whoever's. How much do you lose any sleep over that? Who cares? That guy has no power over anyone. What matters is that people who have those views, who actually have power and are willing to fucking, like, use it. So those are the people who I focus on. And to those Cato guys, I mean, I don't know, I don't mean to be a dick, but most of them are fucking just pissed off that they have no, they've been spending, you know, 20, 30 years in this liberty space, and no one gives a shit about what they have to say. So fuck those guys.
All right, is that it? Is that our time?
Dude, I think we fucking solved the nation's problems.
Listen, man, let me say, as I said in that fucking stand-up show, man, I really can't tell you guys. It means so fucking much to me that we fucking packed this bitch out on a Sunday, man. Fuck, like, this is awesome. Twice. Guys, a big round of applause for Robbie the Fire Bernstein. A big round of applause for Chris Faga, my brother. And a big round of applause for yourselves. Thank you guys very much for coming out. Have a good night.